Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Guys, I feel like we've been walking for like a really long time.
I know, isn't it great? I feel so good. We've been out in this fresh air and we're heading to Prosker and we escaped that place where I never even want to think about again.
You're a very interesting group and I like you a lot. My name's Judith.
Judith.
Sometimes I don't say my name very often. Sometimes it just gets stuck in my chops.
Shami, baby, we're back.
Who are you?
You zipped us off to Saloon.
Oh,
you're
right.
Just telling that you completely forgotten about us, regardless of if we were to come back with your stuff, we would have been off scot-free.
Well, no, you signed
the... Sully,
are you okay, Sully?
Sully, oh my goodness.
Sorry about that. No, you're right. We would have came back regardless because those are the kind of good people we are. Give her her things, everybody.
Well, you've got everything on the list. I will hand this over to you.
I take it back and I say thank you very much.
And as you hold it in your hand, it bursts into flames and falls to the ground. Oh, that's how it's supposed to happen.
What was that, Sully? I think that sounded really bad.
It did sound bad. Is it time to save the world, Glim?
I don't know, but I think maybe we should start.
And I think we've run out of the rusty bucket.
Yeah, let's head towards that explosion.
This one's on you, Judith!
I got it!
And up shooting from this cloud is this winged, hideous demon that bursts up into the cloud and begins flying around and swooping down, trying to pick up people that are fleeing.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Amy Moore.
Are you sure? There was a little hesitation there.
I am really here. Don't trust him. And I play Sullivan Slight.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, that's me. I play Moot.
And Carla Maxted.
I am also here, although my camera isn't working, so am I really here?
Ooh.
You guys don't know. This could all be a recording that I'm playing back to then be recorded to release as the podcast. Let's see if I say any weird non sequiturs. Also, I play Glim.
Carla, that's so funny about ham sandwiches.
Hilarious stuff. Clearly been working on your tight five.
Yep.
About ham sandwiches.
About ham sandwiches.
Very specific.
Judith would approve.
All the best comedy is specific, Carla.
Oh, yeah. She loves a good ham sandwich.
Yep.
Judith puts butter on her ham sandwiches.
Yes, she does.
As all old ladies
no,
do.
No, she doesn't.
It's true.
It's margarine.
Oh,
you're
right.
Giving her
totally
too much
right.
credit.
It's margarine.
I'm like,
you're
dude,
absolutely right.
Cheese is, or butter's just one step away from cheese. Yep. Judith margarine. Uses margarine.
Classic Judith.
She's a Basel lady. Perhaps I can't believe it's not butter. What a Basel bitch.
You know, sometimes we do bonus content, and I feel like Judith would have a pretty good little one shot. I don't think there'd be much high action, but there would be some. There would be like buttered sandwiches or margarine sandwiches. In
Maybe
there.
For this game time, I'll name my character Judith, and no one will understand it.
Yeah, because it'll be too soon. Oh, that'd be so good.
That's fun.
So if you've played in game time in the past, and Tom played in Judith, and are just getting it once the last episode plays. There you go.
This is
Welcome
for you.
To the end.
You were on the
end
joke. Yep. But when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Mika or Micah Samsowitz. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mika or Micah, both great names.
Yep. Thank you so much. You can find out more about joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, fuck it, let's play!
Oh my goodness. Wow. He's not even going to produce that in.
No.
He's just doing it all himself. He's still going. Look at him go.
This is awesome.
previously, there was an explosion in the center of Prosker, where you are right now. Big demon bird thing flying up out of the earth. Ash and smoke falling all around you. Eska and Moot running in from one side of the city. Sully and Glim running in from the other. There's drums playing in the background. It's very intense. It's big fight going on right now.
Like a battle of the bands?
Like a battle of the bands.
Just a bunch of guitar stings.
Up from hell, Satan himself with a smoking guitar riffs. No.
Grave digger.
Okay. No, I'm here for it. I would like you to continue making music noises with your mouth. Do it.
Okay. So there's a bunch. There's a demon. We'll just cut in with you. This is what you see. Go.
As we run up and I see Moot and Eska running up, I yell, What the fuck you guys do? You do this?
I don't think we did this. Like the explosion was over there and we were over there.
Yeah, I know, but you're doing some crazy magic stuff. And now there's something flying. Oh my, it's picking people up.
Is there any people that seem to be in immediate need of assistance, like under debris or...
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
On fire, etc.
Yeah.
Falling from the sky?
Yes.
All of these things.
Okay, slow down. You come, poof, see them. What do you do? And then survey the scene. There are three people who have who are trying to pull themselves out of the rubble. You hear hideous noises coming up from the center of this split in the earth. There is one person who is being picked up actively by this big bird creature and is being flown up into the air.
Sully wants to get out a short bow quick and let loose an arrow at this thing that's the bird demon that's trying to pick up the person.
All right, do so.
Okay.
And then let's roll. Yeah, let's roll for initiative. That's probably going to be a good idea.
Can I shoot my short bow first, or...
Roll for initiative first.
Fine.
That was
18.
A hard no.
Right?
That was a hard no, Amy.
17 was mine.
5.
Ooh. Oof. Bringing up the rear.
Someone has to.
Put those guns away, Tom.
Never.
For our listeners, Tom just flexed his muscles.
That's true.
And they were big guns.
Cue the guitar sting.
It's a little AC/DC for you. Sully, you are up first.
Oh, wow.
Good thing you didn't just shoot your arrow.
Good thing, because it... What?
I will now shoot my arrow.
All right, so Sully gets out a short bow, and he aims it at the flying creature, or the swooping, I guess, creature. And he goes, come on, Sully, you can do this. And it's a 24.
24 will hit.
Darn tootin'
nimbly
it will.
Through the air, your arrow flies into this creature that has huge feathered wings, like a fur back, a big eagle beak with teeth that lines it, huge talons that sink into this person.
That's an ugly motherfucker.
It's an ugly motherfucker.
I hate it. I rolled the lowest damage I could possibly roll, so that's a 6.
What type of damage is it?
Pokey.
Yeah. It goes and sticks in and then falls out and goes to the ground. But you see just like a little of blood.
Guys, I made it bleed. I made it bleed its own blood.
Anything else you would like to do? Bonus actions, move actions.
I'm going to use help as a bonus action.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to look at Glim and I'm going to... It can help me like encouragement.
Click on help, and then you know what help does.
Oh, right. It just doesn't look clickable.
always
okay, you can lend your aid to another creature in a completion of a task. When you take the help action, the creature and you gain an advantage on the next ability check to perform the task you're helping with. It provides, so...
So, I mean, you don't really know what Glim's doing.
I don't, so...
I think you want to probably go around, figure out what everybody's doing.
Okay, hold on. I can aid a friendly creature in attacking a creature within 5 feet of you, or 30 feet, because I'm a mastermind.
Who?
That's right, I know things! And I can feint, distract the target, or in some other way team up to make your ally's attack more effective. So if your ally attacks a target before your next turn, your first attack roll is made with advantage. So I could be, like, trying to get the attention of the big wing thing so that it stops doing bad things to that person, and so that maybe Glim can get around it. And this is what happens when you give me bonus actions.
Okay, so what is it you were doing to try and distract this bird?
Oh, I'm waving my arms in the air, and I take out another arrow, and I'm like, oh, you like that? You want another taste of this? Feather face?
Okay, the bird drops the person from 40 feet in the air. Glim, it's your turn.
Oh, no. You told me I would...
How far away am I from that person? Can I try and catch the person?
I thought they were swooping to get a person,
no, they
not
had
they've
picked
got...
up a person.
No, they already got the person.
You
damn
shot
it.
A bird that was carrying a person.
It just poked it, like, little.
Yeah, but then distracted it, so it dropped it, because it's coming for you now.
Yeah, Sully's having a hard time being straight up the good guy. He's not right to make all these decisions on his own right now.
There was a lot of sweet guitar riffs off the top, I understand.
It's true.
Glim, yeah, so what's your movement?
My movement is 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. I'd say if you dashed, you could... get underneath that person. They are falling from 40 feet in the air, however.
I'm going to try and catch them.
Okay.
Oh my God.
But they're just going to squish me. But maybe they'll just knock me down or something.
Okay.
Maybe I'll just break their fall a little.
Okay, so we're going to do... So Sully was actively trying to help you, so that's going to give you advantage on the strength check that you're going to need to make in order to catch this person. Because for every 10 feet they fall, they're going to take 1d6 bludgeoning damage, which means that's coming down on top of you.
Oh my.
If you fail, you're going to take the full 4d6 bludgeoning damage.
Might die, you guys.
Yeah, you might.
I've outlined what's going to happen to you. Do you still do it?
Well, I think I do.
Oh, God. Kay.
I can't imagine Glim being like, actually.
I'm going to write down
think
the...
she just is going to do it.
Can I roll the damage for her?
I'm going to write down the number that you need to pass. Make a strength saving throw in order to catch this person.
With advantage.
With advantage because of Sully's help.
Help. We're going to put that in quotation marks.
So the first one is a 16.
Okay.
And the next one is a 17.
All right. It's
probably not going to be good enough.
Well, I had written down the number that you needed to pass, which was a 15.
It was a 15.
Oh,
so okay. You catch the person.
I thought
person.
It was going to be like 24.
Well, I'm being generous.
That's right. We are still baby characters. Like,
we're such little
I
babies.
I haven't given Glim her third level yet.
She can't die yet.
But yeah, so you manage to catch the person, and I think you describe how you catch them and avoid taking this damage, like knowing that if you just dead drop them, that your arms are going to come out of their sockets.
Yeah, I was going to say I can take some damage. I mean, I am even if it goes the best it can go, can't go that good, can it?
No, you probably still take half.
Like, I don't want the damage, but let's be realistic. They're coming from 40 feet.
Okay, so 9, 10, 12. You're gonna take 6 bludgeoning damage, as are they, which knocks them unconscious.
Yeah, I think so. I like just run, not really thinking about what I'm doing, kind of with my arms out, and I feel like catch is probably not an accurate description of what happens.
Break the
I think
fall.
They probably yeah, I think they probably just kind of like land on me-ish, knock me down. Kind of knock the wind out of me, but I like break their fall enough that I'm not super hurt, but I am like the breath is knocked out of me and I'm not feeling great. about this decision, except that I am, because I saved them.
Oh my god, Glim, you're a hero. That was, I made a really bad choice.
Anything else you can or would like to do?
I mean, that was realistically, I mean, I have one action. That's probably all I can do.
Sounds good.
But that was a lot.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I liked it. Demon's turn. So this bird has caught your sight there, Sullivan Slight.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to dive towards you and try and get you it's going to go try and go for its beak and one of its talons. So that's going to be 15.
Doesn't hit.
And a 12.
That doesn't hit.
This bird flies towards you, screaming in your direction, and swipes at you. You nimbly move out of the way as it swoops up and back into the air. It passes through your sphere, which would impose a quick opportunity attack.
Oh, yeah, I want to do that. I'm going to say with my rapier, I'm going to try to slice at it as it goes past me for a 22.
Yes, that will hit.
And, okay, Amy, don't roll the lowest amount of damage possible. I rolled the second lowest amount of damage possible. I need to be more specific.
More specific on your little self pep talks.
7.
And what type of damage?
Slashing.
Okay.
Nope. Piercing.
Okay.
Pokey tip.
You hear screams of the individuals who are trying to climb up. You look over. Everybody catches sight of these. Like, they look like they're all mouth. Like, they have these stubby little arms on, like, these, like, almost like potato bodies, but it's, like, bumpy
visual.
Flesh, and it's, like, huge mouth and teeth, and one person is clamped down on their legs with one of these, and there's another one running up and out towards another person. It is Moot's turn.
I see the one that dive-bombed Sully and missed, and I raise my hand and unleash 3 magic missiles at it. Now, these are guaranteed to hit, but I do have to roll damage.
These are going for the bird thing, not the coming up out of the
not the big
ground.
Mouth.
The bird thing that was trying to attack Sully.
Got it.
Okay. First one, ooh, that's 5. Second one, that's 4, so 9 so far. And 2 is 11. 11 force damage.
Woo!
Motherfucker. yeah, you did. Yeah, you found one that works good. You knock this bird, like, off kilter, and it loses its balance and, like, falls to the ground, and there's this hideous shriek that it lets out as it's scrambling to get back up.
I picture, like, an X-Wing. When they get hit and they, like, spiral out of control.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
And you would like me to roll for the surge table?
Please do.
Okay. That's a crit fail.
baby! All
magic
right.
Happens.
Roll me some percentile die to see what happens. Make it good.
Okay. Come on, not sheep.
Good for
That's
me.
That's what I was just
good
thinking.
For
I don't know,
me.
It could be a sheep.
Don't... Go for the sheep. Come on, taller. that is a 38.
Oh, you really like the 30s.
Yeah, we're right in there.
Well, that's never a good sound.
Seems like a bad sign. He has a very delighted smile on his face, too. It seems bad.
Terrifying. What the fuck is that?
Okay, so magic missiles go off. You're feeling real good about yourself because this bird's shrieking and, like, trying to scramble up. And then...
Perfect. Hurting birds. That's Moot's MO.
yeah.
I like to draw them, and I like to hurt them.
And then one, like, right in front of you, one more in front of Glim and Sully, and one, like, 40 feet off into the side. So 3 flumps, which look like floating... like pillows with big long eye stalks and long like jellyfish like tentacles pop up out of nowhere, and they have this look on their eye as they look at you, and they're like, they don't say anything because they don't speak good,
But they have this look of fear and panic as soon as they see you, Moot, and then all three of them just bolt away from you.
And they're called floops?
Flumps.
Flumps.
That's F-L-U-M-P-H. Flumph.
Flumps. That's a good one.
Yeah. Flumps. Okay. Esker runs forward to this broken down fountain that's like spurting water and just dribbling water where you had previously seen him juggling when you had met. Does the same thing you saw him out in the field, just shapes this water, moves it into a wall that bursts between this demonic creature that's clamped onto this one person and bursts it off and pushes it away long enough for this person to scramble up. You see them bleeding from their legs as they're trying to scramble up and out of this pit. Sully.
So you're saying that my poking isn't hurting this thing?
I didn't say it wasn't hurting this thing. I just said it wasn't hurting this thing a lot.
Well, it's a good thing. All my attacks do the same thing. Okay, so he's just going to short bow it again. Because he can see it crawling, looking all sad and shit. 14.
Yep, nope.
You're the worst.
Sorry.
And as my bonus action, I will use help again.
Okay.
And I'm going to run over to Glim. I run over and I help you up.
Okay.
Just because, yeah. You know.
Well, that actually does help because now...
Because she was prone.
Now I'm not prone anymore.
So you don't have to use half your movement.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Glim. You've just been assisted up. You've got this person in your arms. What do you do?
I'll put the person down. Are they... They're unconscious?
They are unconscious, yeah.
Okay. I almost wonder if I was, like, under them, I would have kind of moved them off of me, and then Sully helped me up. I don't know that I would have, like, deadlifted them from the... They're just laying on the ground now.
Yeah.
How many of those mouth creatures are there? Three?
Yeah.
Does each of them have a person in their mouth?
Not actively. One had a person in their mouth, but Eska managed to get them off with the shape water. The other two are crawling, but are being pursued in this moment, haven't yet been chomped.
Okay, I'm going to use my fire breath on them, and I guess it depends how they are... positioned, because it goes in a 5x30-foot line.
I'd say you can, if you run to position yourself, you'd be able to get there within your movement. Yep.
Okay. Then I am going to do that. They have to make a dex save.
Dexterity is not their strong suit. Although that one rolled a 17, that one rolled an 8.
Okay, so the one that got the 8 will get full damage. The other one will only take half damage.
Okay.
But it is... baby characters. 6 damage or 3 damage on the other one. I must have rolled double 6s when I did it on Birdie and Barty because I really... blasted those guys.
It was full damage that you did, yeah.
Because remember you were like... I'm going to scare him away. And then you froze and you were like, oh no.
Oh my.
Whoopsies. Okay. Yes. They take that damage and turn and lock eyes. Now you see that they have many eyes. Lock eyes on you. The bird creature is going to get up and begin to flap its wings and move towards Sully. As it does so, it emits this horrific screech, and you see like the sound begin to move as it comes towards you. You have to make a constitution saving throw. Everybody within 20 feet. I'd say probably Glim too.
Okay.
Because you ran back in that direction. Oh no, Sully. Yeah, no, because you ran away from Sully. It had to go to Sully, which it can make it there. No, it's just going to be Sully.
20.
Okay. You are fine.
I rolled a 19, everybody.
Yeah, you feel like your knees waver like this thing is trying to stun you. And it swoops up back into the air. Kind of along like the roof lines at this point. the other two creatures, the one that got separated by the water, it turns and starts running towards Eska and is going to make an attack with its big, big bite mouth. And that's a 20, not natural, towards Eska, who's going to take 11 piercing damage. So this thing is like clamping hard down on Eska's leg, who lets out a scream in severe pain and agony. The other two are going to rush towards you, Glim, as you had fire breath them. One's going to attack for a 9 with its bite. The other for a 20.
Well, 20 will do it.
Okay. And that's going to be also 11 piercing damage.
Oh my god, you guys, I'm almost dead.
What you at?
1.
Nice.
What? Don't do this to Carla again.
That's fine.
Yeah, we didn't.
Hey, Carla.
This wasn't
a plan.
Hope
you didn't want to level up to 3.
Right?
2 was enough
just
for you, wasn't it?
Just out of your grasp.
Yep. That's good. That's good. Clean fun is what that is. Moot, it's your turn. As you cast that last one, and as these flumps poofed up and out, and you feel like you're anchored to the ground and to the air and to like the flames you can feel billowing down in this pit below. And you feel like this extra surge wash over you. Like you're more connected to your spells and to your... You're more in touch unknowingly and inexplicably with nature around you. You've leveled up. We'll do stats after this battle. If we survive.
What? Welcome to the middle.
Ooh.
What? Whoa, oh, I totally just it. Like, right in there.
Just like that.
Just like that.
You didn't even sing it, though. That's the thing that gets them.
To hit what gets them?
That's...
Oh.
Fine, take it. Do it. Whatever.
Welcome to the middle. We're so happy to not see you because that's creepy, but, you know, just know that you're there.
In our hearts.
In our hearts, certainly. And us in your ears.
And maybe you in our Patreon?
Maybe Patreon, yes. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We've made some changes
over
there.
You can has Patreon.
Yeah. I can has Patreon? Yeah, we made some changes over there. Specifically to our $15 tier, which is...
Awesome. Sorry, is there a label for that tier? Is that what you were teeing up?
It's the in-world tier.
It's
the in-world tier.
Because
Rush,
what
just
tier
edit,
is it, Tom?
Edit that part in where I come in confidently say the thanks. In-world tier.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carla, you were going to take some actual information?
I was just going to say, if you are a patron at that tier, then we're sort of changing things around. But basically, you can submit characters like name, class, race, and a quirk. And then those will be NPCs, which will be fun. Make some hard quirk things or like awkward or embarrassing
things.
Yeah,
let's do some fun. Awkward things.
Awkward or embarrassing.
Yeah.
Please?
Fun. Yeah. Embarrassing's fine. That doesn't matter.
Russ has no shame. Fine. He doesn't. Yeah. He'll do it. It'll be fun. He'll just lean into it and it'll be great. And
pretty sure I'm the one who came
you could
up
say
with
something
the
like
there, guys.
Jeremilicia is the name. Elf, barbarian, sharts all the time.
Oh.
That is an interesting quirk.
And because he'd have to tell us that was happening, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. There'd have to be some Foley effects in there.
Okay.
Be very fun.
I mean,
I thought it would be like talks with an Irish accent.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
sharts all the time.
All the time.
I mean, it could be Irish too. I mean, that's completely up to you.
It depends how long you want this character to stick around
that's
for.
That's true.
But the other thing that we're doing at that tier is items. We were doing items before, but again, we're opening up the floodgates, so to speak, because we've come up with a new mechanic for the game called
Zedmart.
Because if you shop here, you're smart.
Also, a little throwback, Canadians might get it, Zellers.
Yeah, we're real into the Canadian. We got it. That's the only thing we got that's different is that we're Canadian.
We're just celebrating the heck out of
it.
So come over to not Zellers, it's Zedmart, because Zellers is TM. Yeah. But yeah, and stock our shelves.
So our characters will go there. We'll talk about the items. We'll save up our gold. And buy
and
fun
then shopping
things.
Montage.
And then shopping montage, and then forgetting montage, which is kind of just like the whole show, basically.
Yeah. But hopefully this will help us remember a bit more.
Yeah. Our new fun cool things episode. Invented by you.
So patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Check out that $15 tier. If that's not, you can't afford that, or that's not quite right for you, we'd love to find you at another tier. Go check them all out, and we'll see y'all next week.
Now let's get you back to that episode.
Something fun is happening.
Maybe a maze? I just assume we're always in a maze.
This is Moot, Glim, and Sully.
Who's saying that they can't be in
their
a maze?
Their first maze? Wow.
Big time maze. Yep. Okay,
it's
bye
a rite
everybody.
Of passage.
Bye.
See ya. All right, I see the two that have gone to attack Glim, and I kind of think to myself, like, boy, it would be nice to throw two spells at them instead of just one, and that's what happens.
What?
So I cast Firebolt towards, I wish I could cast it towards the two of them, but I picked the one on the right, and as I throw this Firebolt its way, I managed to throw a second firebolt somehow. I'm not really sure how it happens, to be perfectly honest with you. Maybe it's one of those, like, secret things. If you just, you know, wish it, it'll happen.
Some magic works. It's just if you wish it, it happens.
That is how it works. So I rolled a 17 for the spell attack.
That is good. Do you have to roll again for the second one?
Sure, yeah, that probably makes sense.
17.
Or I don't even know.
17 will
I assume
hit.
You'd have to.
Yeah, because it's the second target, right? So I would think you'd have to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it doesn't say in the little write-up about twin spell, but that makes sense to me. 15 for the second one.
Both of those will hit. Give me some damage.
All right, first one is a 9. Second one's an 8. All right, so 9 to the one on the right and 8 to the one on the left.
Okay. These fire bolts go, and Glim, you smell their flesh char and sizzle. Like, these things aren't, like, these things are only about, like, knee height. So, like, the flames hit, and then the smell just wafts over you. But they are shrieking below as they're chomping at and around you. It is Eska's turn. You, out of the corner of your eye and in the periphery, see all of these snowballs begin to swarm around Eska and this creature, and the creature is going to crit fail. So I'm going to give them max. I'm going to give them max damage on that. 18 snowball damage. Just like snowballs, like almost like ice balls, pelting into this creature as it's like being moved around by all of these blasts of cold. Sully.
Mm-hmm.
You're up.
It seems like everyone's got a handle on these big mouth meanies.
Yep.
So Sully is going to let loose a short bow, or she's going to fling his short bow into the air at the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unorthodox. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
No, he's going to let loose an arrow at the flying fucker. Oh, for a crit fail.
Maybe you did actually throw your short bow.
Did I throw my short bow? Did I forget how to do arrows?
No, I think how this is going to work.
I'm not killing Glim. You can't make me.
No, I'm not going to get you to kill Glim. That's the easy Russ out. Let's kill Carla's character. No, I think what's going to happen in this moment is you draw your bow back and the rope snaps. Yeah, the bow snaps. So it goes, you pull it back, and just before, like, the bow breaks and the arrow goes tumbling to the ground.
Ah, fuck, this is... I knew I should have had one better, well made. Oh, God. And he just shakes his fist in the air at this bird creature as if it's its fault.
Okay. Glim, there are char-fried demon creatures in front of you.
Are those ones dead or just crispified, but still living?
They are just crispified. Still living, still chomping, still screaming.
Okay. I am going to cast Divine Favor which will give me an extra d4 radiant damage on a hit, and I am going to attack with my war pick.
Okay.
Which is a 17?
Yep, 17 will hit.
Okay, and then... Come on, that's a terrible roll. Anyway, 9 damage with the war pick, and then an extra... Fuck off. 1 radiant damage.
Ooh, you're so radiant.
Why did you do all Carla's rolls for?
Because I didn't get to do my turn.
Tell me how Glim... kills one of these mouth monsters. I assume you went towards the one that really chomped down into you. So
yes, that seems reasonable. I mean, you said they're only about knee high, so I guess I just bring down my massive, frightening-looking war pick right into the side of it. And maybe it even like gets a little bit like stuck on it, and then I have to like pull it off.
Oh, I like it. Black ichor type blood spurts up and out of it as it convulses as you leave it stuck on the ground there.
Ugh, yucky.
Gross.
As that happens, beneath the other one, Glim, and beneath the one at Eska's feet, both of you see like this swirling black circle right beneath them. It starts slow as like smoke and dust being kicked up, and then spins faster and faster and faster until there's this hole that begins appearing below them, and they fall into this hole, like trying to grab and scramble. And then as soon as they're out of sight, the hole snaps shut, and you look up and you see Charmy standing at her shop, holding components in hand, moving her hand back and forth as these holes disappear. Moot, it's your turn. The bird is still in play.
All right.
That sounds like something that you would say to someone else that you're meeting for the first time, but you're both on like the secret mission.
Totally.
I was going to say, it sounds like someone's like a code name, like the bird is still in play.
The eagle
right?
has
Right, like
landed.
We haven't
the
gotten rid of Judith yet. The Judith. Bird is still in play.
Fucking Judith. I guess I will throw off another magic missile because it hits every time and it's delightful.
All right.
All right. Magic missile coming at the bird thing once again. 4, 4, 7, 10 force damage.
These magic missiles strike this bird hard as it's moving to swoop back towards Sully and knock it into this roof. And as you look up and to this roof, you see a dwarven man coming up and over the other side of this peak of this roof. Sully and Glim recognize him as Bolnil Thunderaxe Undertask. And he's carrying one of the blades of ether that he was describing. It's this shining blue blade that he then drives down and into this creature, who lets out a shriek as it curls around this blade, and you see like this light beam out until the bird flops limp on the roof.
I rolled my wild magic table just cuz. It was a 9.
Okay, you're at 1 or 2. And he pulls his blade up and out and looks down to you. I'll be down in a minute.
Gab! Bohill Thunderunder! You did a great job! Hey, we know that guy.
He climbs down and Charmy comes out of her shop. And they're surveying the scene and they walk over. And Bolnil comes up to you and says, well, I thought you were out to save the world. Why'd you have to bring it here?
Hey, this wasn't us.
I don't think we brought this here. Also, that was amazing, both of you. Oh my goodness.
Well, it looked like you needed a little assistance.
Oh, I definitely do. And I sit down, because I'm very weak.
I broke my bow.
Yeah.
I don't have any potions or anything, but...
Charmy comes over to you and says, this one's on the house. And she casts Cure Wounds at a very high level and brings you back up to full.
Thanks, Charmy. You're the best.
Yeah.
Well, we made quite the team. We should all like go on the road together.
Do you guys want to come save the world with us? You weren't mentioned in the prophecy, but you're both amazing.
Well, I think we have some cleaning up here to do. It's been a while since we've been on the road together. That's not probably a great idea.
Oh, you guys just adventure together?
Sounds juicy. Let's dig into that later.
Is there backstory there?
Do you know what happened here?
No.
This pit, these creatures, do you know anything about that?
Well, that's, he points up to the bird, that's a Vrock. A bird demon from the abyss.
We all know what sound those make.
Yeah.
Vrock!
Yeah, exactly. And Charmy says, and the ones that were biting at your ankles there, they're maw demons? Different part of the abyss. Seems the wires are getting crossed down there. They're not supposed to be able to come up and under cities like this.
Well, the situation seems abysmal.
Ha!
So did you guys used to date, or?
We, yeah, no.
I was drinking, Carla.
Sorry. Yeah.
I mean, you could say that. She says, oh, we had a fling a few times. We were out on the road. You know, we traveled for quite a while. Yeah.
Some friends with beneficiaries, but friends who
fucked.
That's right. Bone and buddies.
Bone. Yeah, that's what that's. Yeah, I'm not sure what you were trying to say, but that's what
I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm hmm.
Nice.
No, I don't think we can come with you. I think we can help you. And he looks down at his blade and then to you, Glim, and says, I asked you if you'd find the other one, but maybe if you take this one, it'll help you in your journey.
Are you sure? I know you wanted the other one back. Maybe we'll find the other one and I can bring them both back.
Hey, if you find the other one, I'd love to see it. But there's no more traveling in my future. This is for you. He puts the blade's hilt in your hand and lets it go.
And as they're having that moment, Sully, like, comes up beside, like, standing there expectantly, like, what present will you bestow upon me? Kind of look on his face.
What magical weapon am I
getting? Yeah.
I could fix your bow so it doesn't break as easily.
Yeah, he'd be so great.
Yeah. Yeah, he grabs it. I'll get you on your way here. I'll take it back and fix that up for you. I'll find something fancy for it.
Aw, thanks. Yeah.
Charmy looks to Moot and says, that was a good shot there. You look good. You mean to shoot both of them at the same time there?
Well, I thought it would be real nice if I could. And then all of a sudden I did.
Eska hobbles up behind you. He's like, that was really great, Moot.
I totally forgot Charmy about Eska.
Charmy looks at him and says, oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'll help this one, too. She hears his wounds.
Like legs hanging half off. Eska. Just
dragging himself over like, good job, everyone.
Poor team.
The group of you stop and discuss your recent encounter. Not really figuring out. Neither of them have any information on why it's happened or how it has happened. Just that they are demons from the abyss, and this type of travel straight up into the material plane is both forbidden, but also not supposed to be possible. Bolnil fixes your arrow, and it's strong and true, and gives you fills up your quiver, so you are back to full on all your ammunition, which I know you totally keep track of.
Totally, I keep track of that for sure. Every arrow.
I can see it every time she uses it. She makes note. Yeah.
She's got a big whiteboard. I don't. It's weird you don't see it, Russ, because you're in the same room with her, and she marks one down.
Marks one down every time.
Yeah.
You rest up for the night, getting ready to head out the next day, and you fill up, get some good grub at the rusty bucket the next morning. You walk back out front, and Rolf and your carriage are out front waiting for you.
Oh my God, Rolf, I didn't think I'd ever get to see you again. And I do that thing that people do with horses where you press their face up to their nuzzle. Nuzzle, that's the word our daughter uses. That's what she... What is that?
Snout?
The muzzle of the horse?
Yeah. Like the real flat part before that. Yeah.
I don't know if anyone here has ever ridden a horse or anything. They like breathing in your breath. It's weird, but so I do that with the donkey. It's a real intimate, loving moment.
That's nice. I assume I hold you up so you can do that.
Well, donkeys are short and their heads go down. They eat off the ground.
I know. Just rude. Making a joke.
Rude. But maybe.
You all climb aboard the carriage and set off on the road to head towards Tymanthar. Which was where you were heading all along.
Gotta save the world.
I know I said I wouldn't ask, but are we almost there yet?
The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Christian Brown, Derelith, Devin Michaels, Gabriel Lynch, Jacob Madden, Jessica Babiak, Cat Waterflame, Mark Hartless, and Stevie. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Were you accused of a murder enacted by supernatural forces beyond your control?
Yeah.
Are you seeking a multi-figure gold settlement for damages to your business?
Yes.
Are you a young entrepreneur seeking justice for the murder of a family member that would be here if you were better at your job?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Thomas Phelps. I am the attorney, along with my assistants, of Phelps, Oz, Mogbile, and Felcher, and we want to help you get justice.
Our expert legal services are available for a modest fee. But not too modest, I got a family to feed.
As a bot, I don't eat, but I do have a hunger. A hunger for justice.
And that hunger drives us to work for you, future client. From investigation to sentencing, we've got you covered for everything from public urination.
Oh, yeah.
To murder in varying degrees.
Don't look at me.
The attorneys of Phelps, Oz, Mogbile, and Felcher care about families. That's why they work quickly to help get this daddy off. I was blown away.
My business was in trouble after an unfortunate case of property damage. But the attorneys of Phelps, Oz, Mogbile, and Felcher helped set things right with a hefty gold settlement.
So come on down to the law offices of Phelps, Oz, Mogbile, and Felcher.
Located in the old Biscayne Boys building.
in Eastern Orgea.
Just follow the podcast highway signs for Dungeons and Drimbus and take the Season 3 exit. The attorneys of Phelps, Oz, Mogbio, and Felcher are not responsible nor liable for any of the following that may be incurred while working on your case. Sudden death, loss of limb, heartbreak, the use of magic to secure evidence, the wrath of an interdimensional being, urinary bladder infections, nausea, depression, the sudden desire to remove one's clothing, the illicit romance of a will-they-won't-they workplace scenario, or a complete and utter disregard for the natural laws of space and time.
Join your favorite fantasy attorneys for their next case. Dungeons and Drimbus publishes every Friday, wherever podcasts are found.